In the name of God, the Holy, and of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Well, you know how some folks say that you can find everything you need in the Bible? Well, our passage today is probably not the best investment advice. Ever heard the phrase, cut your losses? Does pursuing 1% of your assets and leaving the other 99% to fend for themselves sound like good management? And really, the other parables know better. Hunting so hard for only 10% of assets, one coin, and then throwing a party the cost of which it probably exceeds the worth of the coin that was found. It's absurd. And notice both parables end with feasting. 2 weeks ago, our gospel was about a banquet. The part just after today's reading in Luke's gospel is the story of the prodigal son, which we read back in Lent. That one also, if you recall, ends with a feast. Notice that they don't end in some sort of penance for misbehavior, or promises not to get lost again, but with a feast. We know that Jesus sure does like to hurry. Actually, that's what some of the Pharisees and scribes, those religious authorities, that's what they had against him. Too much hurrying and not with the most moral companions. What we might hear is that those Pharisees and scribes are terribly uptight hypocrites, grumbling about Jesus' choice and companions. But truthfully, is our attitude any better? See, tax collectors were collaborators with the Roman overlords, the enemy. After World War II in Europe, those who collaborated with the enemy, the Nazis, were hunted down and either put on trial or subject to public humiliation. Like women in France whose heads were shaved and were paraded through town to be shouted at and spit on. Tax collectors, like those women, were collaborators. They collected taxes for the enemy, the Romans, and they coerced and extorted whatever additional money they could to line their own pockets. And Jesus prayed with them. This is really hard for us, especially today, September 11th, as we remember and still fear what those who collaborate with evil can and have done. But our Lord partied with collaborators. In our gospel today, and especially in the original language of Greek, all that language is about losing and finding. It's not so much about forgiving. Later on, Jesus says that he came to seek out and save the lost. Not the bad or misguided, but the lost. Are you lost? Most of us don't particularly think we're lost, not really. We identify ourselves based on what we do or used to do for a living, or who we're related to, or who we're friends with, or where we belong, or any one of a number of other ways. We are emphatically not lost. Occasionally misplaced, but not lost. Not most of us. Not usually. Lost is for those other people. The ones outside. The ones not here. You know. The ones who are sinners and unrighteous. Like those tax collectors and sinners, those kind of lost. In answer to those Pharisees and scribes grumbling, Jesus tells a couple of parables. Now the word parable literally means something thrown alongside. A parable is about something, and usually another contradictory idea, that's thrown alongside the first. See, parables are supposed to mess with your mind. litigation cones. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Something about a cone or a parable is intended to knock us out of our usual way of thinking about things in order that we might hear something new. So Jesus tells these scribes and Pharisees, these ultra-religious people, a couple of really wild stories. Sheep and coins that are lost, and the shepherd and the woman who moved heaven and earth to find them. They don't cut any losses. What they do makes no economic sense whatsoever. And you know, it's also really not fair to the not lost sheep and the not lost coins. But when they find what they're looking for, they have joy, rejoicing, celebration, over the top party. Not repentance or securing the assets, but a party. For the sheep that was dumb enough to get lost in one coin, only 10%. Really bad asset management. Yet God seeks the lost and expects us to take permanency following Jesus' example. Now, much of the time we make a pretty bad job of it. Not that we aren't welcoming or helpful or charitable or doing a prettier version of like social worker would do. But we usually fail to recognize that when there are some that are lost, we are all impoverished. We are incomplete. The rest of us, you could say, are lost without them. Really lost without those people? We're called to imitate Jesus, to live lives on behalf of others, to decenter ourselves from our own concerns, like Jesus showed us. In God's crazy upside-down view of the world, the last to first and the first to last, proper risk management of assets gives way to the insane idea that individuals matter more than principles, or even what the majority thinks is right. And fair doesn't even enter into the question. The hardest part of these parables is not that the lost are sought for and found, but that we, that's most of us most of the time, the so-called righteous, are called to join in the celebration, even spending resources, in order to celebrate that those people who were lost are now found. Doesn't seem quite fair, does it? 2 weeks ago, in our gospel reading at that other banquet we talked about, Jesus was at dinner with the Pharisees, and he took them to task for comparisons, for counting the status chips, in order to determine their social and maybe their economic worth. In the church, we talk a lot about building community and fostering good, tight relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But at the heart of this idea is the problem of remaining open to those outside of the group, outside of the church, or outside one's own social circle. Not simple politeness, as if they might join in doing things the way we do them, as if we owned a banquet and therefore get to call the shots, but in truly welcoming them as fully enfranchised, precious, and beloved God, with every right to be there and have a say in how we will all be together. The great 20th century Catholic social activist Dorothy Day once wrote, "The gospel takes away our right forever to discriminate between the deserving and the undeserving poor, the ones for whom the feast is thrown, the found lost." A.L., the writer of Winnie the Pooh, once wrote, "I'm not lost, for I know where I am. But however, where I am may be lost. Are you lost? Can you enter into rejoicing, feasting, banqueting, to celebrate those people? Make room for them at the table, even this table. Not as an act of charity, but as a celebration that we are not complete. We